Blog Talk Radio.
One of your hosts, Brother Dunlap, and I also have the privilege of sitting alongside of one of the greatest hosts in the business, Brother Warren Feaster. How you doing this evening, my brother?
I'm doing great. You had me scared right there when you said the greatest host in the business. I thought somebody else was on the line.
Well, you know, I had to say one of the greatest hosts because Adia is not with us. She is traveling today, so we pray God's blessings over her as she travels and gets back home to Fayetteville to her family, my family as well. But we just want to tell everybody, as your host, we want to tell everybody thank you for joining us, whether you're listening live, whether you're listening via the Internet, on Blog Talk Radio, or whether you're listening to this show in the archives. And we pray that as you listen and participate on the show, and notice I said participate, Brother Feaster, because we don't want this to be a conversation where it's just you and I talking. We want all of you who are listening to get involved in the show. When that happens, then everybody learns, everybody grows together as one body. A couple ways you can participate in the show. One way is you can press 1 on your dial pad, 1 on your telephone. It'll light up on the switchboard. We'll see you. We'll bring you into the conversation, let you have a seat at the table. Another way you can participate is you can go onto our Facebook page, which is possessions.resources.finances. We ask you and encourage you to like the page, but also you'll see a link to the show on that page, and you'll also see us communicating back and forth. So put your questions out there, your comments. We'll be more than happy to communicate those to the listening audience. So today's show is entitled PRF Planning for 2014. And if you've just joined us for the first time, this is your first time at the PRF table, we want to let you know that PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And just to give everybody a little bit of what goes on at the PRF table, we talk about relevant topics with practical, transformative ideas. The community of over 17,000 listeners to past shows since we hit the air last December. That's amazing to us. We thank God for it. And what we've done over the past year, Brother Feaster, myself, Sister Sanders, we've talked about a variety of different issues. We've talked about a lot of things dealing with financial and socioeconomic concerns. We've been real with you as the host of this show, and we've been transparent, just as a lot of our listeners have been transparent, as even our guests that have come on and sat at the table and just come and just shared with us and gave us their testimonies as a labor of love for all of God's people. We've also had some tears on the show. We've also had some stories about people's hearts being healed. So we as a host, what we've done is the best to just listen to you as the listeners and also as well as to God, so that we can hear what's going on with you, so we can hear what's going on in the world around us and also in our individual world. So as we approach the end of the year, while so many, Brother Feaster, are in this holiday mode, right, while so many of you who are listening are hopefully spending your money and your time wisely before God and man, while so many of you are anticipating the great things that God is going to do for you and your family and your community and your business and your job over the next year, we thought it would be a good idea to have a frank, open, honest, spirited conversation tonight about PRF planning for 2014. So with that, let's get into the show. I think Sister Adia may have joined in. Let's see if she's on the line, and if she is, go ahead and let us know that you're with us, my sister.
Yes, I'm here. How y'all doing?
Doing well, doing well, well doing well.
Hello there, my sister.
Good.
So here's where we're going. Tonight, we already told you, we're talking about PRF planning for 2014, and really we're going to try to deal with this from two vantage points. The first vantage point is, what is it that you need to do? better in 2014. And all of this is surrounding PRF, your possessions, your resources, your finances. So that's the first question. What is it that you need or that you want to do better in 2014 regarding your PRF? Second question is, what is it that you need or you want to start doing in 2014? And the third question is, what is it that you need or you want to stop doing in 2014? I pose these questions, y'all, because I really think that these simple questions, if they're answered, if people are honest with themselves and honest with others, it'll begin to bring some type of economic transformation in your life and then also in the lives of others. So with that, we want everybody to also know, and I'll shut up after this, I promise. You know, what is PRF? What do we talk about in PRF? Everything we talk about on the PRF table falls under one of 10 categories. Ownership, meaning God's ownership, stewardship, giving, tithing, planning, saving, debt, credit, wills, and inheritances. So as you are answering these questions, those of you who love to join in, who we love to hear from, you know, let us know what vantage point you're coming from. So if there's something that you want to do better in 2014 regarding stewardship, then let us know what it is so others can hear what you're trying to do, and we can also pray for you and try to be there with you as you embark on this 2014. So I'm going to shut up for a quick second. Brother Feaster, let's start off with you. What is it that, okay, you know, let's start off with this thing about doing better. You know, what, which one of the PRF areas do you think that you need to do better in for 2014? And the reason I'm asking you, and I'll ask you, Sister Sanders, you can jump in after that, is because sometimes people need a little push. Sometimes people need a tug, and sometimes they need to hear other people be open and transparent about what it is that I think I need to do so that they can get some encouragement to do the same thing. So I'll yield to you, Brother Feaster.
I would love for next year that I do a better job of the will. We have not, my wife and I have a will, but my daughter was about, y'all got to bear with me, I'm actually having that cough again. I had a couple of months ago, so bear with me. We have not updated it. I think my daughter was like 2 when we did our will. And well, over the past 16 years, some things have changed. Some things have changed. So that is one of the things that I'm looking at updating next year, which is going to be kind of difficult because I'm going to be out of country. But I'm still planning on doing it, somehow, some way, getting it done. Because I'm looking at, you know, when people pass away, one of the things that causes a lot of problems is stuff that's not taken care of in the will. So mm-hmm. although it's a topic of discussion that is not favored, it is not one that we choose to talk about, you know, but if I want to take care of my children and leave a legacy and try to minimize some of the hurt and pain and hardship during a time of hurt, pain, and hardship, my focus right now is for the will next year. And my wife's focus is actually the credit card debt, which we don't have a whole lot, but her focus is the credit card debt. She wants to really just minimize a lot of the credit card debt that we have. She wants to eradicate it, but I don't think that's going to happen. We are not avid credit card users, you know, but we're emergency credit card users. So those are the two things that I believe that we're going to work on next year with my family, my wife and I.
I got you. And let me ask you this, because I did hear you say, you know, it's going to be difficult because you'll be out of the country. But don't let that hinder you, because if you think about it, how many times have soldiers particularly gotten, and that's not the right terminology, but have gone to JAG, for example, or to the legal department of the military and done powers of attorney, done living wills. So there's the ability for you to do it once you get over there, but it would probably be best if you can do it while you're still here so that you and your wife can have that face-to-face time and it doesn't have any barrier of communication because, you know, she's trying to get something done on this end and you're trying to get something done on that end. and then you're trying to do the communication because of the time difference. So it may be worth just trying to start working on that before you even go. And then if you can't get it finalized by the time that you have to go overseas, at least there's not that much work that's already done. You know what I'm saying? So
I think those are some real good things.
That's actually part of my intent.
I would love to get it done before I leave. But when I go home during the Christmas break, well, everybody else is on Christmas break. And when I go home before I go overseas, my wife works. So it's a matter of, you know, can she take the time off? So if nothing else, we'll at least get the planning part done. And maybe the last thing we do is just actually go to JAG or something. But I'm going to try to do as much of the legwork as I can prior to leaving. So I'm in agreement with you, total agreement with you, to tell you the truth.
And you know I'm going to stay on top of you on that too, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, and I want you to. I like accountability, brother. I need accountability, brothers. I need a couple of more accountability, brothers.
And we do. We need people to help us be accountable, help us to be accountable for the things that we're trying to do. Because if we don't have people that's going to help us to be accountable for the things that we're planning on doing or the things that we should do, it's easier for us to say, you know what, I'll take care of it when I come back.
Right.
And then taking care of it when I come back on my six-month tour or six-month mid-tour, which is leave in the military, winds up being I'll do it when I come back after the year, which turns into I'll do it when I get settled in. And then next thing you know, three or four more years done transpired or done gone by. So we're definitely going to lift you up in prayer on that so that gets done. Because we on the PRF table, we do know how important having a will is. There's a lot of people that are. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I keep thinking you about the pause because I just wanted to say, and the other thing to that, what you're saying is we're expecting that I come back, you know, alive. And, you know, I'm not expecting to even make it over there. We got to live each day like it's our last because we don't know when our last is. And that's really how I'm thinking. I don't want, you know, something to happen because, you know, that's a long flight. Anything can happen in the air, you know. We don't know what's happening. So, you know, continue to push it off and push it off and push it off is just continue to make more and more and more excuses when it really is a simple process and probably take all of about an hour.
Right.
So that's my thought process.
Adia, what do you say? What is it in your PRF profile? I like the word that you use. You called it the PRF profile. So what is it in your PRF profile? Ownership, stewardship, giving, tithing, credit, debt, saving, wills and inheritance that you think that you need to work on in 2014?
For 2014, my profile pretty much looks like still continuing to pay off my one credit card, which I've been doing really good at that. I have it on an allotment. So I like that, you know, and I'll increase the amount. But that's just one thing is to pay that off. The other one is to I have one student loan that I just want to get paid off. And the other one is as far as like with finances, the two with finances is one is I would like to adopt a child from another country where you can donate, pay like $35 a month, and they have like a world vision. And I found out about it from a friend of mine. So I'm looking at – I'd like to do that, but definitely just want to look at my budget before I just, you know, make a decision. The other one is to, because I'm in grad school, I got to start back my classes so I can graduate. However, I think earlier this year I talked about like scholarships, but I talked to one of the advisors and they do have like a payment plan that you can pay, which is very, you know, low cost and reasonable. So I definitely just have to look at my budget and make sure that if I'm going to fund my education, that I make sure that I have everything in order so that I can do that. I'm actually really excited about that because a lot of times I've just learned that you
you know, you look for ways that you can get help, but sometimes you can be your help or whatever, and the payments are very reasonable. And I was nervous about it initially, but now just looking at it, I said I'm excited that I'll be able to say I, you know, helped to fund my education. So that kind of makes me feel good. As far as like with wills or inheritances, I do need to update my will. And when you said it, I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't updated it. Wow, since 2008. I came back from my deployment, and I've had a son, and I bought a house since then. So I definitely need to update my will. And the biggest thing for me is just I love to give, so I definitely want to do more throughout the year with giving. Like one of the things that we do as a family is we go through our closets and toys and stuff, and we bag that stuff up. And I think this year, instead of maybe donating it to Goodwill, which there's nothing wrong with that, I like to find a shelter where there's, like, children at to donate those items to them or to somebody else that has a need. Outside of that, the other one is, and I'm just really putting myself, I'm being very transparent. I ain't going to put myself out there. But you know how you say you plan to do something and then time just goes by? Well, a lot of time has gone by. My son is 12, and I have been wanting to start the 50329, or it's like the college fund, and I just have not done it. I've always found, not that I an excuse, but just haven't disciplined myself to just say, do it. So now years later, and my son is in seventh grade, I feel really bad about that. But at the same time, I know it's not too late. So I will definitely be doing that this year for all three of my children. And I've been thinking about that actually for the past couple of days, to where I'm going to commit to putting, I think I said like maybe $25 in their accounts like every month until whenever. I just feel like, you know, I know sometimes we look at, oh, my child can get a scholarship, but they're my child. And so I want to be able to help them pay for their school. So I'm definitely going to take advantage of that for 2014. And the other one is just to continue to budget and to continue to put more in savings and to continue to just pay off, you know, things that are on my credit report. I mean, there's still things that I actively have. So it's just to continue to pay down on my debts until I no longer have a student loan and I no longer have a credit card bill. And I'm not sure if I'll get rid of it. I'm not quite sure yet. But the goal is to at least have it paid off and just to kind of deal with cash. I don't know, because it's my military star card. I don't have another one outside of that. So that's pretty much it. I mean, like I said, I love giving, and I'd like to be able to do it more, not always financially, but, you know, through my resources, if it's clothes, toys, dishes, myself, my time. That's something that I definitely like to do. So that's pretty much it.
And Adia, I think that what you've done is what a lot of people do. A lot of people see that there's a lot of things that are out there that I can improve on, that I need to do better on. And I think what happens is when there's so many things out there, it's hard for people to actually set a plan around doing all of those things. So the thing that I would encourage you and everybody else is to be able to say, okay, what is the one thing that I need to focus on first? Because when you focus on one thing first and then you have a sense of accomplishment, it gives you that strength, it gives you that joy, it gives you all the stuff inside of you to be able to say, you know what, now I can come out here and tackle the next thing. So that would be my question that I would ask. And anybody else, you know, who has so many things that you want to do better, because that's the right spirit, that's the right heart to have. I want my, what I hear you saying is I want my PRS profile to be better than what it is right now. So in that, which one of those several things that you mentioned, if you had to pick one right now, what would you say the one thing that you think that you can get the fastest sense of accomplishment on so that you can always look back and say, hey, you know what, while this next step may be a little bit tough, I've already accomplished the one that's behind me. So which one would you say?
I listed a lot of stuff. I guess I have to prioritize. World vision really isn't a priority. I would probably say my kids, their education. And I say that because only because I've been thinking about it maybe since the beginning of this week. Like, and so to me the easiest thing would be, because I have it in my head, is to write down what I had in my head and then look at the figures and I guess kind of with over the years. So I think that one would be the easiest. And I say the easiest because it's something that I have put off for so long, but it's the one that has, I guess, the most impact. Like if I wait another, like literally if I wait another year, and this is 2015, like the time and the money that I could have invested towards their future now decreases a whole nother year, and I can't get that year back. So that one would probably be the easiest. At least in my head, I don't know.
I got you. And that's why I think, if you, those of you who are listening, you know, if you want to join into the conversation, by all means, press one of your dial pad. Because when we start dealing with our PRS profiles, one of the things I was talking to about Brother Feaster is this, and I'll share mine in a minute. I said, you know, as we tackle our own PRF profiles, as we make the strides and say this is one of the things that I want to do better, by everybody doing that, what it does, it takes the burden off of the community for things that we're lacking in. So, for example, if I was heavy into debt, which I'm not, and I praise God that I'm not anymore, but if I was heavy in debt and I set a goal that in 2014, what I'm going to do better for as my PR profile is, I'm going to cut down off of, I have three debts, for example, I'm going to cut down on those three, and I'm going to just knock one off in 2014. The fact that once I'm able to do that, and if you're doing that and you're doing that, if something comes up, the reality is when most people that are heavy in debt don't have savings. So if I cut off the debt, and some emergency happens, then once I cut the debt off, I can start saving money. Because, see, it's hard to save money when you are burdened with debt. That's the reality. It's hard to save money when you're burdened with debt because the mindset is I have to take care of those who have extended me credit. So all of these things with PRF, everything is so interconnected that we have to look at it from that perspective that is interconnected. So with you, Adia, one of the things that I hear from you is I hear your heart for Kimmy Well and for my nieces or for my niece and my nephew, but that credit card and that debt is something that is going to have to be looked at as well. You know, is there an opportunity to increase paying off maybe whatever that credit card debt is so that you can free that money up? Because the reality is as long as you have credit card debt, you're paying interest to somebody else. So this is how I like to tell people. When you're paying off credit card debt especially and other high interest loans, what you're doing is helping somebody else to save for their children because they're making money off of the interest that you paid into it and that you're paying every single month. Just something to think about.
Yeah, and you know what I did?
Go ahead.
One thing that I've been just really dealing with over the past, probably since October, September time frame, was take it from my head and put it down on paper. So I actually just sat here and wrote this down so that I'm going to put it in my, I have a 2014 planner, and put this stuff in there. And that way I can definitely keep it before me. Yep. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Oh, I have one more thing, too. I was thinking about updating like the floors in my house. Like I have this Berber carpet. Berber carpet is really, really good because it's high.
Traffic.
It's good for high traffic areas or whatever if you have children. But after a while, you just cannot keep it clean, like no matter how much. So I'd like to get my floors redone. So that's just something, you know, when I'm looking at investments and just, you know, at my house and everything in North Carolina and Georgia, that was another thing that I was considering because I actually looked at a floor store last year. Earlier this year, they had some really good prices with the installation and the labor. And so that was the other thing that I was looking at was just investing in my home to kind of increase the value of it. So don't know if it's going to make the cut, but it was definitely something that I've been looking at, dealing with finances and just your resources and those things that you possess, more, which are my houses. And then the last one is my mom's property. Me and my sister are just working on that just trying to get everything put into our name so that we have something that's, you know, in our family that our mom left behind for us.
That's interesting. So for those of you who are listening, prioritize. That's one thing that everybody can do as far as their PRS planning for 2014. And I like your idea, Sister Sanders, put your goals inside of a planner. You know, there is a scripture that says, write the vision and make it plain. In Habakkuk, you know, of course, the Bible was not talking about what we're talking about right now, but the concept, the biblical principle is still there. Most people, anybody in financial planning will tell you, and I've also told my students this from the Army Financial Management course, you can't have your budget in your head. It doesn't work like that. You have to put it down on paper so that you can see and get that visual about what it is that's going in, coming in, what it is that's going out, and where all the money is going. So if you put it down on paper, however you're planning, for whatever one of the PRF components that you're dealing with, I promise you it'll make all the difference in the world. You know, put it on your refrigerator. If it's ownership, if God's ownership is something that you want to focus on and something that you want to recognize and get with God on, put it on the refrigerator or put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Put it somewhere where you can constantly see it, because if these things are constantly coming to you and you're constantly meditating on them and reading on them, I'm guaranteeing you that it's going to be able to do some magnificent things. Brother Feaster, did you have anything else for Sister Sanders or anything else that you wanted to bring out?
No, I'm good right now. I'm sitting here battling this cough and actually listening. She actually caught me on a couple of things that I had to think about. So I'm just sitting back and listening. So,
well, tell us, what did she happen to catch you on, brother, so others can hear it, because maybe somebody else was caught by it as well?
Well, the college fund setting aside money for college. My daughter is currently in college, and, well, the GI Bill don't go far. I mean, it gets you started, and that's about all it does. So my daughter, she'll be out there flapping a little bit, fending for herself. But my son, we have time to make some changes, or either, because when you said, you know, we always want our children to get our scholarship, and my son's grades are great, and if he continue on where he's going, being in and out of school, both being extracurricular activities and what he and his grades, scholarships are going to come easy, but it's my responsibility. I mean, I should do what I can if I can. So that's something that I'm going to add to my list of topics of discussion for my wife and I as we venture into 2014. That was really the biggest thing that just jarred me.
So let me be transparent for a while. You know, I was thinking about this. I don't know how long I've been thinking about it, but I can tell you the area of PRF that I think I personally want to do better in 2014 is the area of stewardship, Brother Feaster.
Okay, stewardship. You know that's my favorite.
I know it. So I'm ready to take it as you give it to me after I explain. You know, here's the reality. When I sit in my office, because I'm working on probably two or three projects at a time, I'm working on the show, I'm working on some stuff for ministry and working on Bible lessons, whatever, it's hard for me to keep a clean desk. And some may say, okay, what does that really have to do with prospering or doing better for your PR profile in 2014? Because the reality is my office in my home is still attached to my home. And God provided not just the room where I have an office, but he provided the whole home. So it's really simple. It's no different in me having a junky office. And it's not nasty. Don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. It's not nasty. It's just, you know, papers and Bibles and papers and Bibles and books all over the place. But the reality is, what's the difference between having a sink of dirty dishes that's been sitting there for 2 or 3 days? Nothing. The principle and the concept of stewardship is the same. Whether it's an office, whether it's the car, whether it's the kitchen, whether it's the bedroom. And I realized that stewardship has everything to do with God's ownership. So it's my reasonable service to make sure that what God has given me, that I'm taking care of it to the best. Because I have a 7-year-old niece that comes by the house all the time. There's no way that I can tell her you need to keep your room clean when she can see Uncle Dunlap and see his room. The office is not clean, but I'm telling her to clean her room. So really, what am I doing, Brother Feast? I'm being a hypocrite. And the reality is I can't really wait until I clean my office to tell her to clean her room. So it's really up to me to be able to clean my office so I don't have that hypocritical conversation coming towards her. And also that it doesn't allow the enemy to beat me up to tell me that I'm a hypocrite for not being a good steward over what God has actually given to me. So for me, that's one thing that I want to do. I want to do better about the space that God has given me to be able to operate and to do this ministry and all the things of ministry that he's allowing me to do, especially when it comes to PRF. And the other one, well, go ahead, Buffy, did you have anything for me?
I had to write something down, man, because as much as I love stewardship, I mean, you said something that we never discussed for probably, what, 2 months that we did, stewardship. We never discussed being the example of a steward. Mm-hmm. We always discussed about being a steward, and we discussed about, you know, being faithful, being true, you know, being loyal, doing what you need to do and all that good stuff. But we never talked about being the example of a steward. Because I look at it, that thing just took me, and bear with me if I get on a rant, I'm sorry. But it really got me, I know, right, really. What really got me was we spent about 2-3 months on stewardship, and we looked at it from the individual out. You know, what I need to do, what I need to improve on, how I do this, how I do that. However, we never looked at it from outside to the individual. And when you said, how can you tell, what was it, who did you say, your niece?
Yeah, that's right, my niece.
You said, how can you tell your niece to clean her room when your desk is a mess? So that right there hit me because it was like, one aspect of being a steward is also what other people see of you. The Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. You know, so that all that you do, don't let that one evil thing just mess up all that you do. You know, do what you can where you can with what you can. And a lot of times we take stewardship to be this big, long, I got to volunteer, I got to give money, I got to do all this. Sometimes being a steward is just being the example. You know, sometimes I just need people to see what a good steward is, you know? Sometimes it's just the example to show what a good steward is, to show, you know, because showing faithfulness will go a whole lot further than being faithful. Because when you're talking about being faithful, you're impacting pretty much one person. But when you're talking about showing faithfulness, you're impacting a whole lot more people. You're dealing with a whole different area. You're talking about people that you may never actually talk to when you're showing faithfulness. I remember when I was in Korea years ago, And this lady was on the choir with me, and every time she would come to the choir, you know, she would talk to me and speak good things to me. And, you know, one day she finally broke down and she said, you know, I really love you because the same way I see you here is the same way I see you when I see you walking around the camp. She said, and you don't see me, but I see you all the time. And you're always smiling, you're always upbeat, you're always talking to people and all that stuff like that. And so we never know the impact of being an example steward because we may never know. We may never know. It may be that one person that's watching us from afar. It may be a one-time person watching us from afar, but that example of stewardship is just as powerful as being the steward. Man, that really talked to me right there. That really did. And I'm going to stop right there before I'm not trying to change everything. We back on stewardship again.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that I'm probably going to mention a little bit later. And I probably mentioned this last week, but did I mention the quote last week from Mahatma Gandhi?
Well, okay. I wasn't on last week, and I didn't hear the show, so I'm sorry. I can't answer
that's
that.
That's fine. Repetition is good. Here's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. Action expresses priorities.
I like
so
that.
Isn't it amazing? Just three simple words. I was trying to find what else was said around this. But this is all that he said. This is the sentence, three words. Action expresses priorities. So what you said, Brother Feast, about, you know, you want to deal with your will and get your will together, and your wife wants to get the credit cards under control, and Nadia gave her list of things. And I gave my thing of stewardship, and I got one more. But action expresses priorities. So what is it that is important to me? What is a priority in my life that is going to be that driving force behind me doing better with my PRF or for my PRF in 2014? For believers, I'm going to suggest, especially being a minister, maybe the Word of God should be one of the driving forces behind your priorities. What do you think, Brother Feason?
It should be number one.
It should be number
actually,
one.
Yeah, well, the Word of God should be number one.
let me share a definition of a word abundantly, and then I'll read a scripture. Because again, I'm bringing. In order for me to make these changes, in order for me to have the type of transformation that I'm looking for, I have to have some understanding about what it is that I'm trying to do. So let me give one word definition. The word is abundantly. The definition of abundantly means occurring in or marked by abundance. It means plentiful, and it means abounding with, right? So for me, as a scripture, that's going to help me with my PRF planning in 2014, and I'm going to take this scripture all the way through 2014, unless God gives me something different to go on. It's John chapter 10, verse 10. And Brother Fito, I know you are the biblical scholar of the three, so you probably already know it, but for those of you who don't know it or don't have your Bibles open right now, John 10, 10 says this, thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, I am, meaning Jesus, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So for me, I'm looking for that abundance because when I look this same scripture up in the New Living Translation, which is the translation that I prefer, it says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Notice that it's giving the purpose for the thief three things, steal and kill and destroy. But what Jesus says is, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Let me go to the NIV. What Jesus says as far as the translation in the NIV is, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So you know what that tells me, Brother Feaston, please chime in. Jesus did not come to this earth, go through all that he went through for you and for me and for everybody else listening, whether you accept him, believe him, reject him, or whatever. He still did what he did. That's what we believe. He didn't come to this earth to do all of that, for me to be broke, for me to be busted, for me to be disgusted, for me to be head over heels in credit card debt, for me to not have a will and then pass on from this life to the next and my family going through a whole bunch of unnecessary changes because I had the information and chose not to do anything with it. So I'm usually not one, Brother Fisa, that just quotes one line of scriptures without giving a context, but for time purposes, I'm going to give it out because that's the only thing that stood out to me. It came so that on this earth that we're living in addition to the salvation piece, in addition to the eternal life, what's going to happen to us, where we'll be with God in heaven after we pass on from this earth. But down here on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So it's not all about just the eternal. It's also about the now. I desire a rich and abundant and satisfying life. I desire for life to be to the fullest. And as a believer, why should I not have that type of desire? Why should I believe that it's going to be it should be anything less than a rich life, a satisfying life, a full life, an abundant life? Matter of fact, he said more abundantly. Why should I believe anything less than that? Brother Feaster, in case you didn't hear that, what I did, I just dropped the mic.
I'm writing it, and I was trying to get finished because I knew you was going to, because I wanted to pick it up as soon as you dropped it. Because as soon as you started talking about, man, oh, gosh, okay, here it goes. It's probably going to happen right now, so just bear with me. Here comes the rant. We talked about Christmas debt a couple of shows ago. And we talk about how this is the time of year that we go into debt trying to buy presents for our loved ones and family and coworkers and neighbors and farmers and derelicts and everybody else. But anyway, and I was listening to that scripture, and it really hit me because I think I said this that show, and if I didn't, I'm going to say it now. So we are celebrating this time of year. We are celebrating the birth of Christ. That's what we understand Christmas to be. This is the time of year that we choose to celebrate the birth of Christ. Jesus came, like you said, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we would not be in bondage, that we would be free. That's the whole thing, that we would be loose from the chains of sin, that we'll be loose from the shackles, that we would be loose, that we would live the free life, not a free life, but live a free life. And here we are, this time of year, going in debt, trying to buy presents for everybody, to please everybody, to get everything just because everything's on sale. And, oh, by the way, next to this sale is something else that I want to get for somebody else. Oh, man, I need to get this too. So how is it that if this is the time of year that we celebrate the birth of Christ, who wants us to be free, who desires that we be free, who desires that we not go into bondage, that we celebrate it by going into bondage? I was talking to somebody today, and this was the conversation I had today, and we were talking about how people go in debt this time of year. I said, you know what? I agree with the people that get the Christmas fun start in January so that by the time November, December come around, they pull that money out, they go shopping. That's called a credit. I 100% support that. You know what I'm saying? I set aside a little money. I build a little credit. I go do what I got to do with that money. At the end of the day, I don't have anything pending, pressing over me because that's called a credit. However, those of us, and I'm going to say us, and I'm going to include myself just as neutral, those of us that go out and go into debt and put everything on these credit cards, on these whatever, all this other stuff that are out there, we're going into debt celebrating the birth of someone who's trying to release us. I think that's such an oxymoron. I'm confusing myself trying to say it. How are we celebrating the birth of freedom by putting ourselves in bondage?
in bondage.
There's a difference between going in bondage. Some people go in bondage. Some people end up in bondage.
Right.
But we choose. We walk to the jail, to the jailer, to the ward, and say, I want these shackles, and I want to go in this cell. How does that work? To me, that doesn't pass common sense test, and I'm not that smart. But to me, that I mean, how do we celebrate freedom by going into bondage? So when we talk about the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy, and notice there's an and there. That means he's doing all three, stealing, killing, and destroying. So when and that's what we're doing. We're giving the enemy we're giving him power, we're giving him position because we are, and the sad thing about it is the enemy is so cunning and he's so crafty, he'll let us put our own self in bondage and then just take the key and walk away with it. We're closing out. I mean, I used to watch Andy Griffin. I still kind of like watching Andy Griffin. If y'all watch Andy Griffin, y'all know the old pound drunk that comes in there every Friday and Saturday night. He gets drunk. Mm-hmm. He walks into the station. He goes, pick the key off the cell, locks the door, put the key back on the wall, and go lay in the bed. That's what we're doing this time of year. We're putting ourselves in our own jail cell and our own bondage. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life. And that could be plenty. That's plenty right there. That we have life, we will be free, that we will be able to live the life that God's given us. But God is so gracious and so good that he didn't stop there. He wants to give us an abundant life. And to me, abundance is having more than what I need. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that we're celebrating? Go ahead, Doc.
And the reality is this is not a genie in the bottle type of thing as well, right? There are some things that are going to have to be put in place in order to get the abundance mm-hmm. that God has prepared already in advance for all of us. So,
wow.
Again, we're talking about PRF planning in 2014 because we know what people, and you know I got to get you on this we thing, but you know that people, some people are doing some things based upon their traditions, their histories, and guilt, shame, whatever the reasons are, people are doing it. But the bottom line is we still have to say, look, you got to do something for 2014. You know,
right.
It's just
mm-hmm.
a good thing to talk about to say 2014 because in reality, I can actually say you need to stop doing what you're doing now, but people have to get it within themselves to stop
right.
doing
mm-hmm.
what they're doing now. People have to get it within themselves to do something better. People have to get it within themselves to want to do something better. So with that, let's go to a call. We got a couple calls. You done got them stirred up. Call it with the last 4-3-5-7-9. How are you doing this evening? Welcome to the PRF table.
Good evening, everyone. How are you doing this evening?
We're well.
We can hear you well.
Brother Dunlap,
Sister Sanders, and Brother Feaster, y'all are really put a spread on the table this evening, and I'm taking notes as well. I think I got about 2 or 3 sheets worth of notes already, but. One of the common there's a couple of words that are just standing out throughout you guys' entire conversation, and the word prioritize, stability, bondage, mindset, renewing of the mind, priorities. I mean, these things are just they're like neon signs flashing out at us this evening while you guys are talking, and really, what especially in this season that we're in. That we're supposed to be free from bondage, but we're putting ourselves back in bondage. And when Brother Feaster, when you use the town drunk on Mayberry about him locking himself back in the jail cell, that really I just got silent in my own self. It really just shut my mouth. You know what I'm saying? And I can really relate to that because I did myself like that years ago. Locked my own stuff in the jail cell in bondage and debt and credit cards. But I tell you, 2013 was a turnaround point for me because I paid off 3 vehicles, paid off 3 credit cards to get ready to buy a house in January of 2014. So I thank God that he gave me all the tools I need, the wisdom that I needed from his word to find that place of stability. in my life, and just sit back and just go back through some old classes that I went through. I went through the Dave Ramsey financial class, and he was talking about the financial piece, and he talked about them baby steps. You got to start with the baby steps and work your way up to a full stride. But a lot of times we don't understand that money. You know, we like to have money, we like to make money, and we like to spend money. And the thing about that is that if we don't watch ourselves, we'll go back to the old mindset that our parents had and their parents had. That we have to have the American dream, and we got to have the biggest cars and the biggest houses, and we got to live like the Joneses and the Cartwrights and everybody else, And so I'm just excited about what you guys are talking about tonight. And it's really giving me some more ideas, especially when Sister Saunders, when you were talking about the personal wheels and the insurance and stuff like that. That stuff is, that's what we really need, because tomorrow's not promised, It's really not promised. So we have to prepare for our children's children and make sure that they're taken care of when we leave. So I'm really excited about what you guys are talking about. And I know it's been a while since I've been on the show. I was telling Brother Dunlap about it the other night. We were talking about the things. And I'm sure he's going to tap dance on some of the things we talked about the other night in conversation. but I just want to say I thank God for you all for being such you guys have shown great stewardship in possessions, resources, and finances, PRF. And continue to do what you do, and God bless all of you.
Amen. And, brother, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Man.
And we have another caller that has been waiting on the line patiently, calling from the last 40097. Welcome to the PRF table.
Good afternoon. Good evening, rather. I'll be very brief. When you all were speaking, it struck a nerve, and I want to be transparent, too. Mine has to deal with resources. My biggest resource that I have is myself. And I am going to do better about myself, health-wise, mentally, and all of that. And in doing all of that, I think Sister Adia said that she likes to give her time and do a lot of things to help people. I am like that also. And for 2014, I am going to try really hard to learn to say no. Because what I found out that in my zeal to do a lot of stuff to help people, I sometimes hinder myself. My husband will hold me accountable for this, and, once you speak it out into the air, it becomes life, so I can just see myself now when I go out here and say yes, yes, yes. He's going to say, don't you remember you said this? So that's my part of my PRF profile that I'm going to do. I'm just going to do much better about the resource that God has given me, and that is me, so I can do better in upbuilding his kingdom. The second thing is, the last brother was on that line said, God has blessed us and we are living in our abundance, but that abundance could be more. So I am going to take my lunch to work more. When I look at our bank statements, I see a lot of not necessarily bad choices in food places, but if you look at McDonald's for $3 a day for lunch and $2 for breakfast, and I'm being, on the cheap side, that's $5 a day. And we could have more to do other things with if, I get up 15 minutes early and boil an egg or something like that, or if I cook more the night before and we can just pack a lunch. So I am going to – those are going to be my two things that I'm going to work on for 2014. Mm. And congratulations on a great year. Bye.
That's good. Wow.
You know what? That is amazing. That is amazing that the last caller just said the greatest resource that she has is herself. And – if you've been listening to the show or if you listened to a past show, you will hear that that's what we've said before on this show, that with possessions, resources, and finances, often the resource of ourselves is the thing that gets overlooked by a lot of people because we're not taught. We're not taught it in, I wasn't taught it in seminary. We're not taught it in church. We're not taught it in Bible studies. We're not taught it in Sunday school. It's not in the Sunday school books. Those are the things, and I'm not down to those things, but that's just not something that's taught, that you are the greatest resources that God, greatest resource that God has. So I'm real pleased. And, you know, it's amazing. Last night I was having a conversation with a gentleman who is into fitness. And for those of you who don't know, in 2014 we're going to do a little bit better. We're planning on doing a lot better with having special guests come on the show and spend about 15 to 20 minutes with us or longer, however long it takes, to supplement some of these areas of PRF. And even though there is not a specific component to PRF that deals with fitness, I was discussing with this individual, we need to get you on the show because the reality is fitness has a lot to do with our socioeconomic conditions in our communities, Lord knows, in our churches, and across this country. If somebody doesn't have health insurance and they get sick and go to the hospital, how does that affect the community? How does that affect your church community? How does that affect the family? If there is not a substantial savings that somebody has, going to the doctors will break you off. Going to the doctor can liquidate a savings account. Sister Adia, do you remember Brother Saeed when he was on? He said, we are just, every last one of us are just one significant incident away from poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True statement. Not putting that on us, not speaking that to the atmosphere, but the reality is most of us, I'm going to call myself normal for a minute, the normal folk, the everyday working cats, cannot afford to pay $1,000 a day for a hospital bill out of pocket. It's just reality. So we need to talk about fitness because it does have a direct connection to PRF. It deals with savings. It deals with planning. You know, most of us, I would say, have the ability to be able to do some type of physical exercise. So let's not wait until a doctor gives a report about your borderline. Matter of fact, I heard this last week at a comedy show we went to. Do you know the brother, what's his name? Fluffy? He's somebody on Comedy Central, real big guy, but he said he was like 425 pounds. His last name is Iglesias, Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, yeah.
And this brother, brother said he's 425 pounds, and he went to the doctor.
Ooh,
and the doctor told him that you'll have, at this rate, about two more years to live. In the name of Jesus, I pray that nobody has to hear that. The reality is some folks have heard that. And the question is, how has that affected that PRF profile of that individual and also of the community that surrounds them and their family? So, and you don't have to be large and out of shape. I know plenty of people that are in good shape. I think I'm in good shape. So you can have stuff going on in the inside of you and have a good appearance on the outside. What's the big brother from Green Mile? Last name is Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
He died of a heart attack a couple of years ago.
Jared Allman died of a heart attack. He was overweight. And he was 30, early 30s. Levert died of a heart attack, and he was in his early 30s, and he was overweight.
Right. But the man with the last name of Duncan, he was in good shape. He was just swole as all outdoors, but he was in good shape. So the reality is PRF, it affects so many people's lives, all of our lives. Mm-hmm. We can't get around it. And the socioeconomic impacts of us having a good PRF profile or wanting to have a desire to do better with our PRF profile is up to us to be able to do what we can only do, plan, prioritize. And Brother Fisa, you said something at the top of the hour, which was critical. One of the things that we have to do is have accountability partners. So what we're going to do, again, in 2014, we're going to try to get some guests on this show at least once or twice a month that can talk about some of the more practical things and have more knowledge and some more insight and some more wisdom than what myself, Brother Feaster, and Sister Sanders have. And I think if we do that, I think we'll start opening up the conversation a lot more. I have a desire that I really want more people to listen to the show and then let God pierce their heart about whatever it is that needs to be transformed. But, again, we need some accountability partners. So one of the things that we've done to make sure that we have an open line to you as the listeners, we have an email address, and the email address that you can start looking at now or start sending us information or questions if you don't want to put it on Facebook. And if you want it to be anonymous, then, of course, we'll definitely honor that. But the email address for the PRF table is prftable@gmail.com, prftable@gmail.com. So email us. Let us know what's on your mind. Post the comments and questions on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances, and we're getting ready to shut it down for tonight. So let me just go back to one of the other greatest co-hosts in the business, Sister Adia Sanders, and let me let you give your final comments. Brother Feaster will come to you, and then we'll wrap it up after that. Amen.
Amen. Well, I really liked what the caller said. I thought that it was just phenomenal, and it definitely put things in perspective. I like the direction that we're going to be going in, and I just think, you know, it's just so important that we have these conversations about what we're planning on doing for our lives, because if we don't know what we're doing for our lives, we definitely can't help anybody else. And I know you brought up the verse about writing a vision and making it plain, but in Proverbs, I want to say chapter 16, at the beginning of the verse, it says, a man comes up with a plan, but it's the Lord that gives him direction, that guides him with that plan. So I think it's so important that we know that God is concerned with every area of our lives, and I know I've said that before. He is so concerned with every area of our lives that when we write those plans down, I just really believe that there's just like this release in the spirit realm where God is saying, you know what, let's move on their behalf. They're serious. And then he'll begin to send people and send resources your way so that those things that you wrote down, that you brought before the Lord, that you brought before your family and friends, that you're believing to happen, I believe that God will send those things your way. He'll send the people that you need to help you make your future better so that you can be of service to other people. I've heard pastors say, you know, how can we serve people if we're broke down? How can we serve people if we're sick? How can we serve people who don't have anything to give? So if we have a plan and give God something to work with, because faith without works is dead, give him something to work with. I am believing that in 2014, what we have talked about tonight and have released into the spirit realm, I believe that God has already begun to move on our behalf and that we are going to definitely start to see things happen, because we won't be able to rest. We won't be able to stop until we see the work that we have spoken come to pass. So that's what is so awesome. And I just always just so glad to be a part of this forum, so glad to be a part of something that is God-centered and God-ordained. And I'm just looking forward to be able to give my testimony, to be like, my credit card is paid off, I'm paying for my classes, and to hear the other praise reports that I know we're going to have in 2014. We got 365 days, and I believe that God is going to be one of those days for us, because we made the effort to, one, be transparent, to be held accountable, and to write our vision so that we can make it plain for 2014 going into our.
Amen, amen. And we have one more caller that, before I come to you, Brother Feaster, that has pressed one. Caller with the last four of 5656. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yes, good evening, everyone. My name is Marianne, and I'm going to make this really fast. When you were talking about insurance, I just did a total on, when you saw my having health insurance, this year I have paid out $1,205.54. is what I would have had to pay if I didn't have health insurance. And I didn't even total up the pharmacy bill, which is very high. So we do need to have health insurance. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much. And, you know, we did have a show, so if you have not listened to the show that we had, we'll post that one on the PRF page on Facebook so that you can go back and listen to the archive, because health insurance is definitely critical. It's definitely critical to the individual, and it's critical to the family, but more especially it's critical to the community that we as individuals live. So, Brother Feaster, what's your final comment for tonight as we get ready to shut it down? And go ahead, my brother.
Well, you brought up the physical aspect, and you said that it really doesn't fit into the PRF agenda. I kind of, like I always do, I'm going to disagree with you and say that it does fit in there. And if it doesn't, then we need to make it fit, because when we're talking about being healthy, we're talking about performance. We're talking about doctor bills. We're talking about medical bills. We're talking about, you know, a whole lot of things that can affect. If we can't go to work and be productive, then we are not going to get any money, you know, if we look at it from a financial aspect. You know, so it does tie in, and that would probably be another one of our passions again, because me personally, I made a vow that I would take care of myself. I am the heaviest that I would be for the rest of my – I would not get any heavier, because my body does not like it when I get heavier than the weight I am now. I add on 4 more pounds, and my body's done. It just starts acting real funny. And my thought process is, if I want to be a good steward to God and do what God would have me to do and be available for God, then I don't want my eating habits, the things that I, again, go back to, like I said, putting yourself in the jail, I don't want that to be a hindrance to being able to fulfill the will of God. So as we get ready to move into that, I just let you know it's going to be another passion of mine, and I think that it's something that it should be discussed. And I'm looking forward to next year. This show has been great. It's been enlightening. I took some notes. I hadn't taken notes in a long time, and I'm going to chew on this for a little while. So I am glad that the table was prepared and everybody was able to get something to eat. Thank you. God bless you. And have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, yes. And I know we're shutting it down for tonight. We're coming to the close of the show, but we do have a caller that's calling from the lab for 5087. So we do have a couple of minutes to listen to you and have you sit down at the table with us. So go ahead, my brother and my sister.
Good evening, and my name's Eva Gunnings. I'm from Mooresville, North Carolina. This is my first time on the show. I've heard some great and dynamic things that have come and transpired from the show. And I'd just like to say that I'm delighted to be here and do plan to join you on a more regular basis. But the one thing that kept coming up while I was listening to everyone speak was temple. And our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. So what we do, what we eat, what we say, how we react, all of these things have a dynamic and a really a reflection on how we keep our temple. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us, and we welcome you back. Just press 1 anytime you want to speak. You have an open invitation to the table, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, let me just say this. I thank you all so much for, and I know I said this a couple of weeks ago when we hit our anniversary show, but I thank you all for the labor of love and the stewardship that you have put into this show, as Brother Parks mentioned in his comments. This is not an easy task for any of us, myself, Brother Feaster, or Sister Sanders, because this is ministry for us. And in addition to ministry, we have regular work that we do. And so we do this as a labor of love because we want everybody that can that is willing to have life abundantly to have life abundantly. So we do this because God has commanded, God has directed, and God has brought all three of us together as well as those of you who are listening to us. So continue to come and support us as we continue to support you in whatever God is doing in your life. Join us back again, hopefully next Thursday, which is the day after Christmas, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now, I am planning on having a show next week. It may not be an hour-long show because we do know the Christmas holiday is there, but that is a good opportunity for everybody just to sit back and relax, where During the normal weeks and normal Thursdays at 8 p.m., everybody's doing a lot of hustling and bustling. So invite somebody to the PRS table. Reach out to us on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. Like the Facebook page. The more people that like the page, the more visibility we get, and then it gets to spread out just the way that God would have it. So let me just leave with this very quick quote that I posted on Facebook the other day. And it says, it seems that if you play the lottery, gamble, invest, or even give with the expectation of financial gain, then that hope comes to an abundant reality. You would seek and adhere to the financial advice and financial planning. Well, don't wait if you have the opportunity now to get into position. Financial planning is not just a rich person concept. So, again, we're talking about PRS planning for 2014. Know that our Savior has came so that you can have life, and not just eternal life, but have it more abundantly on this earth. So until we meet next week, and the song that we're going to play as we end the show is He Cares by Stephanie Mills, because this is inspired by what your comments were, Sister Adia. So until next week, have a merry, merry Christmas. Enjoy the time with your family, with your loved ones, and pray for those who are going through some difficult things right now during this holiday season because of loss, because of death, because of debt, because of hurt. Let's lift them up in prayer as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you.
John Pitchy wrote the song, and it really helped me through a hard time in my life. You can depend on Jesus.
Never leave you, nor he'll never leave you. In the midst of the storm. in the midst of the rain.
Right amidst the rain.
Let's put all our trust in Jesus.
Oh.
I know His love will sustain. Yea, though I walk through that valley, I don't have to stay there.
You're listening to the PR Table with J.R. Dunlap, Adia Sanders, and Brother Warren Feaster. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.